there's this idea in spiritual circles of ascending. Mm. And the idea they're expressing is actually we ascend in our frequency. And when we take ourselves from lower emotions like fear and envy to higher emotions like joy, compassion, feeling happy for someone else's success, these higher vibrations, we're actually ascending towards something more divine.
Before we jump into this episode, I'd love to invite you to join this Candid Spiritual community to hear more conversations that will help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. All I want you to do is click on that subscribe button because I love your support. I love seeing all the comments pouring through, all the love pouring through, and we're just getting started. I can't wait to go on this journey with you, whether you're a spiritual seeker or you're just curious about the topic. And we really hope that our conversations will provide you food for thought and inspiration for your own spiritual journey. So join us for honest, candid discussions about spirituality for soul's sake.
For soul's sake, for soul's sake.
Hello, welcome to another episode of For Soul's Sake, a candid conversation alongside two of my best mates, Kaylee and Nam. Today we're discussing an interesting topic. Can I share it already? We're talking about? Envy.
Criticism. Envy, yes.
Ooh, juicy. We're talking from the Bhagavad Gita, this spiritual text which is ancient but also applicable to modern times, and I'm excited to get into it. Shall we jump in with a verse?
Yeah,
let's get stuck in. All right, this is from chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, text number 13-14. Translation goes as thus: one who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, and is free from all false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, brackets God, Krishna, the ultimate truth, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me.
Wow, we might have to break that down. There's a lot in that.
Yeah. But there's a lot of qualities that I think people will appreciate reside in our own hearts. So let's talk about dealing with envy and false ego and pride and all those kind of qualities. Like, first and foremost, how does one recognize they even have that in their own heart?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is, are you a collaborator or a competitor?
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
In my experience, I've always had more fun collaborating with people. Mm. I think we mentioned it in a previous episode, we rise by lifting others. But the Western mindset is very much geared towards competition and who can be the loudest and do the biggest and, you know, how can we outdo one another. I just don't think it's as fun. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it can be fun. I'm a competitive person by nature. So I think it can be fun to be competitive, but I think when it starts to become dark, when it starts to become like you want to almost harm the other person, that competition isn't healthy. I think it's nice to like go, all right, this is someone in my field that is doing way better than I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'd love to be in the same kind of sphere as that person. But when it becomes, I want to bring that person down so that I can succeed.
So I look bigger.
Yeah, Bhakti Tirtha Swami says it like this, that when we see someone doing a service that we feel that we're better at, and we start in the mind criticizing and being like envious of that person, it's basically like saying, don't serve so nicely.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, don't serve so kindly and so lovingly. That makes no sense.
I think it also comes from a place of fear and like scarcity, because it's like, if you're successful, there's not going to be room for me to be successful, which is rubbish. I think the more space you carve out for yourself in the world, the more it inspires others to also carve out that space. Yeah.
You also pave the way for others to actually be successful.
That's a good point.
You do the hard work. That initial person who really blows up in a particular field is actually paving the way for so many others to have a bit more of an easier life. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And I think envy sometimes is like a very immature emotion.
Yeah.
And we're envious of things, but we just ignore all of the hard endeavor, the sacrifice and austerity that someone's actually gone through to achieve what they want to achieve. And are you willing to do the same? In most cases, probably not.
Right? Yeah.
But on like competition, like there's also healthy competition.
Yeah.
Mm.
When there's competition with good ethics, like it can really egg people on to do better for the sake of each other. I'm going to be your competitor. So actually you do better as well,
yeah.
Right? So in one sense, it's like collaborating in competition.
Sure.
Yeah.
But then I totally agree that competition can get to a stage where it brews into envy and we start to have these very... it's actually a very disgusting emotion, especially for someone who's not got much of an ego. And then they question, why is someone envious of me? Like, I don't feel like I even have much.
Yeah.
It's such a... It's a green-eyed monster for a reason, right?
Mm.
There's a dynamic there that you touched on that I want to expand even further, which is that when we are succeeding in life to pave the way for others, and I mean, I've had to, I'm seeing that right now in my life, like paving the way for other people.
Mm.
And if I'm totally honest, sometimes it doesn't feel so easy.
Yeah.
Because you have to check yourself. You have to check, like, do I really want people to be happy and successful as much as I am? I only want them to be a little bit, you know, happy and a little bit successful, because, you know, I don't want them to beat me. But then as soon as you give people platforms and they succeed and you see them happy, there's no other happiness that I've experienced as seeing another person happy that I've helped become happy. So it's just checking yourself and almost experiencing, have faith that when you're paving the way for another person, that the happiness that you experience off the back of their happiness is greater than the potential of putting them down.
Yeah.
So even if it's selfishly motivated, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Can I go a little esoteric?
Yeah. Let's go.
Just a little bit. The first ever spiritual book I got was on alchemy and mysticism.
All right.
Right?
Witchcraft.
Like occult stuff, esoteric stuff. And there was this diagram in there which showed all of the different emotions a person could have. And whether it was done with an MRI scanner or something, they had tracked the brainwave frequency of people experiencing different emotions. And so they were showing that fear, anger, envy, these base emotions, were vibrating at quite a slow frequency. And then higher emotions, gratitude, love, kindness, compassion, had a much busier frequency. And so the idea in this book, Alchemy and Mysticism, was that God, whichever shape or form God takes for you, is a very high
frequency
vibration, a higher vibrational being. Mm. You could argue transcendental to material vibration. So there's this idea in spiritual circles of ascending. And the idea they're expressing is actually we ascend in our frequency. And when we take ourselves from lower emotions like fear and envy to higher emotions like joy, compassion, feeling happy for someone else's success, these higher vibrations, we're actually ascending towards something more divine.
Yeah.
So even in that way, you can see how cultivating higher vibrational emotions can help you progress in a spiritual path.
I'm going to throw a googly in here.
A googly?
Googly.
Oh, okay.
You ready for this?
Cricket reference.
When it comes to establishing truth, people who believe that they are establishing or correcting people, how can they recognize that ultimately it's a manifestation of their envy? Because correcting someone else, is there a spiritual way in which we can do it?
I'd say it's the intention behind the correction, because you can correct someone for their genuine betterment because you want them to be better, or you can correct them to put them down.
He just rolled up his sleeves. He's ready to go.
The reason...
like that's what you know.
Here we go, bro. Here we go.
In the blue corner.
To roll.
No, the fact that we're just talking about this is really interesting, because a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a seminar by spiritual teacher, Manankeli spiritual teacher, Devamrita Swami. And he said really interestingly, he said, we should see the opportunity to correct someone as an austerity. We should see the opportunity to correct someone as an austerity on the path of our spiritual life, on the path of our progress. Why do you want to feel like you need to? You're in a position to correct someone? Why do we always feel like in the era of keyboard warriors, everyone's got an opinion, everyone's throwing out their corrective thoughts online? Is it even your job to correct that person? If you truly believe an individual needs to be corrected, surely that should come from the right authority, right? I could do something wrong. Kaylee, you could tell me, you could correct me on it, but I probably won't do it. Radhika, you could tell me and I might not vibe with it, right? Maybe someone else I have who's, you know, maybe my sister or my mom or dad, my friends or whoever, yeah? If they maybe tell it, because I've got a particular relationship with them, then perhaps the correction will happen.
Mm.
But was the reason that you were correcting me for the sake of correcting me and wanting me to change? Or was it just an expression of your envy,
right,
of your malice or whatever it may be, right? Yeah. Was it coming from a lower frequency emotion is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's like, was it beneficial? Is it truthful? Are you the right person to say it?
Yeah.
Is it the right time, place and circumstance before I open my mouth? Yeah. Like, I don't think correcting people should be seen as like, now you're like, you know, you're automatically envious.
Yeah.
But I think we need to check by some system. You know, there has to be some sort of thought process. Like, before I post something online about like hammering someone else, like, you know, I could easily do that. Now I've got a platform, I could go out and start like correcting people that I think aren't practicing chanting properly. But am I the right person? I don't think necessarily all the time. Is it going to be beneficial for me to do it in that medium?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, does it actually help the person in a loving way?
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, an online medium is the right way to do it.
Here's some practical wisdom on this point.
Yeah.
This changed my life. If you feel the need to criticize someone, always do it privately.
Mm.
If you feel you need to praise someone, always do it publicly.
I love that.
I like that.
And you see how people, maybe it's like a benchmark for trying to work out, are they doing it just to, you know, criticize for the sake of it or to correct that person genuinely? Usually it's the other way around. They'll praise someone in privately and then, you know, publicly they'll slag them off, so to say. Yeah.
That's a really nice point, because when it comes to even criticizing someone, another element I would add to that is, are what you're trying to criticize that individual for, could you criticize yourself for that same thing?
Deep inhale.
Do you have that existing in yourself? And more cases than not, we probably do.
You only recognize it because you recognize it yourself.
Exactly. I just find that, like, for me, like, I kind of take this, especially in the last like 5 years, I've taken an interesting stance. If it's none of my business, if it's nothing to do with me, I don't need to be in it. Mm. I've got too much stuff going on in my life. I don't need to be in your business. I don't need to comment on your business.
Yeah.
I don't need to correct you. I don't even understand your business.
Mm.
So you crack on.
Mm.
I'm going to crack on in mine, because life's too short.
Yeah.
So many priorities, right?
Yeah. There may be genuine circumstance, course, you know, in which you want to correct someone and you want, you know, critique someone or judge someone, and I can understand that.
Mm.
I just think that there's ways to do it lovingly. You know, if you really want the person to change, there's ways in which you can do it in a loving way. And I think that this point that this verse is bringing across, which is that how do we become dear to God? That's the reason for which we're doing it. We're not doing it for self-improvement.
Right.
Like, what we're talking about here is not criticism so that we can become more kind people just for the sake of kindness. Mm. But that's why I like this verse, because it says, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me.
Mm.
That one who is free from false ego, who is controlled with speech, who is tolerant, you know, all these qualities, it's not just in and of themselves, but sa me priya. Mm. That's how we become dear to God. God wants us to be kind.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone asked me recently, they said, you seem like quite a friendly person, someone that has lots of friends. They're like, I don't feel that way. How do I make friends?
Mm. Yeah.
And I told them this thing I heard about, you know, actually when we become God's friend, we become everyone's friend. Mm. Because Krishna is the source of everyone. So if you become dear to Krishna, you become dear to everyone.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the focus. It's like watering the roots. And that's something I've found. The more I take a step towards Krishna, divinity, then the more the social world opens up for me as well.
Yeah. If you receive love from the source of love, it's very easy to give it to others, right?
Big time.
And that's why even in the criticism of those who criticize others, we should be kind and loving.
Yeah,
for sure. You know,
because ultimately we have to see that their manifestation of the way in which people put out their voice and whatnot to criticize others, it's like they say, hurt people.
Yeah.
And so we have to acknowledge that it's not that they're bad people intrinsically, it's just maybe they're hurt, and that's okay. Like, maybe we need to just show them some love.
I think that's...
And how we show them love is also important. Go on.
Can you just say that again? Because I think we should stress that point. I think that's a huge point.
Which one? Hurt people.
Well, you were saying that we should be careful in our criticism of people that criticize.
Right. Yes.
That's huge, man.
Yeah. Yes.
We can't just skim over that, because that's, I feel like it's almost like the final test or something. You know, you used to watch Takeshi's Castle. Did you ever see that? Takeshi's Castle is sick. And they go through all these
things. I wonder where he's going with this.
They go through all these different obstacles, and there's like the final test, you know. Yeah. I think that's it. And Krishna's maybe set the system up in that way, where it's like, I don't criticize, but hold on, you're criticizing the person that criticizes.
Yeah, so,
I mean, I experienced it, right? Like, I recently got hammered on the internet, and that was very humbling and very humiliating, and it softened the heart. And the initial instinct is, mate, I'm going to go. Like, I'm ready to roll.
Uh-huh.
But by chopping that person down... It doesn't actually elevate me.
Yeah.
By
criticizing someone who's criticizing, it doesn't actually help me. It actually demotes me. My own spiritual values, my own spiritual progression, transformation becomes stunted. It's like pulling out the little, you know, the little sap. What do you call that? The little thing that comes out, the little shoot?
Yeah.
A flower, just before it's about to blossom, it's just a shoot. You're just ripping it out at the core. You know, and so just being conscious of that for my own self has been really important.
I think it goes back to, this is why, like, this why in life, like, what are we doing all of these things for, becomes so much more important. I think you highlighted it in that verse. Like, we develop these qualities to please God, right? So, like, in this particular case, when you go through challenges in projects and endeavors that you might be going through in life, they're there to learn from, to guide your internal transformation. Like, ultimately, the why in our whole life is to try and become pure loving souls at the end of this life, pure lovers of God.
Yeah.
Right? That's the goal. That's the goal. Not the metrics on our posts and social media and projects. That's not the goal. The goal is actually that. And what the journey looks like from where we are to there, we don't really totally know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But we have to be open to the lessons that present ourselves with, right?
Yeah.
I think that's...
And do it patiently. Like, there's this verse, I'm just reading the purport while you were speaking.
Yeah.
Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14, 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 8. Famous one, those that know the Bhagavatam. Tat tenu kampa susamikshamano. You know, we have to be patient, and all the while, like, if we're being criticized and people are being envious of us and we can notice it, then we should patiently endure and know that ultimately those who are patient in that painful process will come out much more peaceful and happy and beautiful.
Yeah, there's an incredible story of Srila Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And in India, he ran this ashram with many, many disciples, and all very high caliber disciples. But there was this one disciple that everyone despised. Like, super envious person, and no one could get on with him, right? And one day this difficult disciple left, and so the other disciples and devotees felt very joyful, and they started celebrating and dancing and doing kirtan and everything, right?
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. And so they're like, we have to go and tell Gurudev, we have to tell Gurudev. So they run into Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's room with this exciting news that so-and-so has left, and they see Maharaj is sitting there weeping, crying heavily. And they say, Maharaj, haven't you heard the good news? So-and-so has left. And Bhaktisiddhanta opens his eyes and looks at the devotees and says, I heard, and I'm very upset, because now who will teach me humility? You know?
Wow. That's a mic drop. Can I drop this mic?
I wouldn't. It's not ours. Yeah. But wow. I just find that that's one of the stories, like the definition of a teacher who leads by example.
Mm. Yeah.
And maybe that's how we can start to calibrate ourselves as well. Mm. And yeah.
I mean, I know it's hard, because like some of you are listening to this and thinking, yeah, come on, Radhika. Like when someone, you know, says something rude to me, you know, shows me the birdie on the street, the first thing I want to do is just show my prowess and my power and my ability to correct that person.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this wonderful saying, and I'm sure many of you have heard it, a moment of peace and a moment of anger can save you 1,000 moments of regret.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we live by that, just like, just catch it, just pause. Mm. You know, when someone says something rude, someone's criticizing you, and you know it's their hurt, you know it's their envy, you know that they're doing it because they want to just, you know, they want to get a reaction out of you, just pause. Because in that moment of pausing, you might save yourself 1,000 moments of regret.
Yeah.
You know, you might learn from that. You might learn the art of tolerance. You might learn the art of humility. Mm. You might. And to be honest, if you're a believer in spirituality and a believer in God, if you have faith that God is going to figure it out,
yeah,
then we don't need to be the correction system.
Yeah.
Some people are like, yeah, but then what about Hitler?
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw another googly in there. Another Googles has been added. What about Hitler? If we hadn't corrected Hitler, what would have happened? So where does the line get drawn between not standing and fighting? Because what I'm saying maybe sounds too altruistic and, utopia. Yes, everyone, just let everyone do what they want to do. Don't criticize it. So where does the line get drawn?
Well, there's a difference between something that's just morally wrong, mass genocide, and,
true.
And... one superficial point, perhaps, is that correction or envy that's not for something as severe as, you know, like the case of Hitler, for instance, is that actually you can see it as a compliment, right? If someone's envious of you, it means they want to be you. They want to have your life, right? So in that way, it's a little more superficial, but you can think, actually, I take this as a compliment. And and there's no need to respond with aggression or envy in that way. Maybe you need some distance. But I think when it comes to correcting people who are...
the character.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
There's a difference.
Thank you for that.
I think you have to just understand, is it your position to correct? And it may be.
Mm-hmm.
It may be. Right? Mm-hmm. It may be your job and role and service to that individual to correct. And it may not be.
Yeah, but you've got to check yourself like 3 times. 100%. Like check yourself. You even got to check with your own authority.
Yeah.
Am I the right person that should say this or not? And when I say your own authority, I don't mean like, you know, fall in line soldier. I mean like in spiritual context, we understand that, you know, there's people on the path who are a little bit further along than I am. And yeah, they're considered maybe more senior to me in their spiritual journey. Let me just check with them. There's no harm. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say, don't say anything.
Mm.
And that could save you 1,000 moments of regret in the future. Because you know what the thing is? As soon as you say something, you'll always be remembered for saying the hurtful thing.
Yeah.
You'll always, no matter what you do in your life, that's going to be kind and great and, you know, accomplished and whatnot. People always remember, but you took that dig at that one person. You know, why? Why did you have to do that?
Yeah.
You get labeled. You get remembered for that.
100%.
Yeah.
What's that saying? They say that people don't remember what you did, but they remember how they made you feel.
Feel.
Yeah. If I asked you, like, how many Instagram followers does this guy have in 2017? It's like, I don't know. But how did he make you feel?
Yeah.
That's the thing that's important.
Yeah.
There's also another dynamic. So, like, we talk about criticism. And criticism, correction doesn't always mean criticism. Criticism doesn't always mean correction.
Correction mm-hmm. doesn't always mean criticism, right. And criticism doesn't... Yeah, yeah.
Because when
yeah,
we're saying yeah. we've been critical about someone, we're really trying to...
Be objective.
Be objective or be subjective and take them down a little bit, perhaps, mm. with something that's, yeah. that we feel we don't like about the individual that they should be improving on. However, we know that that's not necessarily in... When that's driven from envy, it's not necessarily a nice place to be. But where does discrimination come into play? Like, do we need... We talk about discrimination. That's very discriminatory.
You mean discernment?
No, discrimination.
Okay, tell me.
Discrimination, like dealing with different people differently.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because it's often given a bad connotation in today's world. Like, in order to discriminate between two people, let's say I want to help two different people. Yeah? You've got Jack and Jill. Jack has a pretty tough upbringing, right? And Jill's had a really great upbringing. So I need to be a little bit more sensitive with how I deal with Jack. I've now discriminated and assumed that I need to be a bit more sensitive with Jack mm. based on what I know. But that discrimination wasn't wrong,
mm.
right? And I wasn't criticizing Jack for what he's gone through mm. And therefore I need to deal with him differently. It's coming out of a space of I'm just trying to use logical discrimination to deal
You're
with
You're working
people.
With the information you have.
Right, yeah. exactly. Because they even say, like, in the three levels of a spiritualist, you have the neophyte, you have the intermediate, and then you have the advanced. For the intermediate level, it's said that they're supposed to employ a level of discriminative ability
mm.
to impart spiritual wisdom to different types of people.
Yep.
But it does not mean that they're criticizing individuals in different yeah. places. Right. And say, you're there because you're like that, so therefore I have to speak to you like this.
Yeah.
And I have to, here's how I need to teach you. It's not like that. So sometimes I feel the word discrimination is given a bit of a bad rep in today's world, and it's like, that's very discriminative. It's not. We're just acknowledging differences and responding yeah. to it in such a way.
There is a kind of a breakdown happening in that whole world of everything's one, we're all equal.
Yeah.
I think mm. we're finally getting to the point of realizing that actually, no, men and women are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're equal in some parts, but also different.
Yeah.
You know, that has to be that, you know, discrimination without it being, you know, exactly how you said, negatively connotated. I like how you phrased that.
There's that story of the professor who comes into the classroom one day and every day has a spotlessly clean white shirt that is ironed and perfect. And he comes in and one day... he has an ink stain, just a tiny, tiny, tiny black ink stain on his shirt, right? And one of his best students, who watches everything he does every day very, very closely, puts his hand up. And, you know, the professor thinks he's going to ask a question, but he says, you have a stain on your shirt. Mm-hmm. And the professor takes his jacket off and said, 99.9% of this shirt is white. And you found the one black spot. Yeah. You know, what does that say about you?
Yeah.
Who? Yeah.
So, I feel like if we see criticism in ourselves, it might be that we are looking at the black spot rather than the 99% of good qualities that might be there. You know.
Yeah. I always try to do that. Like, if there's someone I just don't have good feelings towards or feeling a bit ill, I'm just like, stop, let me just say three really nice things about that person, three things I really observed that's really nice. And that, just that simple activity, completely shifts your mindset, completely shifts the day, and you feel I empowered that person, or I empowered my critical nature to make me feel the way I did because I focused on those things. I could also empower my higher nature to make me feel a lot better.
Yeah Loving, respectful distance.
Loving, respectful distance, yeah.
You know, if there's someone that we know we don't like, just keep a loving, respectful distance. We don't need to be involved in their life. We don't need to try and change their life. We don't need to correct their life. No, just loving, respectful distance.
Because let's be real, right? We're having a discussion about criticism, but let's be honest, there are people we just do not like.
Yeah, that's everyone in every single person's life. Name me three people in your life that you don't like.
Yeah.
You've probably got one on your mind while this conversation is going on. You're probably thinking about the person that you dislike or criticize or whatever.
But there are people where you just, you know, as saintly as you think you are, you just hate this guy or girl or whoever, right? So it's like loving, respectful distance. I like that.
And if we don't like everyone, why are we expecting everyone to like us?
Exactly.
Doesn't make any sense.
Kaylee's dropping the bombs today.
Yeah, he's on it.
It's that 5 hours of sleep, I'm telling you, it really.
On that note, we're going to close off this conversation on criticism, judgment, and envy. I hope it's been useful for you. I hope you can use some of the things that we've spoken about in the week that follows, catching yourself just before you're about to do someone over, just catching yourself, pausing for a moment, considering, what are the words that I'm going to say? Are they going to be loving? Am I the right person to say them? Are they critical? Do I need to first look inside myself and correct something within before I say anything about others? So much there. I hope there was something useful. And not because we want to just be good people, quote unquote. It's not about just getting to the point of, in and of itself, being free of envy, but rather from this bhakti perspective, from the Gita perspective, that one who has conquered envy, one who has conquered their pride, is very dear to divinity. It tugs at the heartstrings of divinity when we're kind to one another and we're avoiding criticism of one another. And I think that's beautiful. So I hope that your week ahead is successful. I can't wait to see you on the next episode of A Soul's Sake. Thank you so much for joining us. See you on the next one. Peace out. If you love this podcast, you'll love my interview with Shivani Powell on the importance of accepting and embracing others without judgment. Check it out.
With a knife, you can kill someone. You can hurt someone. You can harm someone. You can also use that knife to chop fruits and vegetables to eat. And also, you can use that knife by a surgeon to save someone's life.
Yeah.
And so with money, it's not a bad thing.
Mm.
It depends how you use it.
Yeah.
And how you show it.
Yeah. Totally.
And I think that there's also, we shouldn't pass judgment on people who choose to live in a big house or who choose to buy nice things or to choose to go out. Because at the end of the day, I think we believe that if you're a monk, if you're spiritual, if you're this, if you're a woman, you're a man, this is the life you should lead.